Welcome back to the Cozy Cozy Podcast. I'm your host, Garrett Kuzmeyers, and whether you're trying to conceive in the middle of a pregnancy, one day or 1 year postpartum, we are here to provide comfort and community for the entire perinatal journey. From birth stories of moms just like you and I, to my solo musings on the throes of motherhood and business, to powerhouse mamas making real change, we are here to support you so you can take out your AirPods, feel less alone, and more empowered to take on the day. Wherever you are, let's get cozy. Welcome back to the Cozy Cozy Podcast. I am here today with a co-founder and CEO of Partum Health, Megan Doyle. And Megan is such a wealth of knowledge. I learned so much from her. And honestly, I stand in awe of her for everything she's doing because of the challenge of getting things covered with insurance. I don't know about you guys, but one of my biggest headaches, really always, is dealing with insurance companies. But I had an ongoing joke that the biggest thing I spent time on postpartum was sitting on the phone with insurance, because they gave my son's insurance card to me incorrectly when I filed for it. And then I had to continue to get it fixed so that, you know, things could be covered for him. And it was just such a hot mess. And so anyone who has the patience to deal with insurance is really an angel. And also she's making the world a better place for everyone's ability to access care. So many of us have insurance and at the same time still can't access care with our various coverages. And so I am in awe of what they do. So let me explain to you guys what they do. Partum Health is truly a one-stop shop, and this is my words, a one-stop shop for everything along the perinatal journey. Their mission is to bring more joy, better health, and less stress to growing families. And in Megan's words, she is here to elevate the standard of care. Partum Health believes all families deserve comprehensive, whole person care that supports their mental, physical, and emotional health needs. At Partum Health, they make this a reality for families. And for me, I think the ability to access care that is comprehensive is really the crux of what they're doing. And I know that sounds like, I don't know, generalized terms, but to describe it in easier words, there's a lot of things that you need when you are going on the perinatal journey. You might need physical therapy like I did, because the Relaxin really kind of messed with my already injured torn labrum in my hip. You might need acupuncture, whether that's for mental health or energy healing or any and all the benefits that acupuncture brings. You might want a mental health counselor. You might want a doula to work with you throughout your pregnancy and be there for your birth. You will probably want to meet with a lactation consultant. There's all of these things. And I describe in the episode that I felt like I became a small business to really kind of bring together all these different resources, know when to use them, know the costs, et cetera. And Partum really puts that all in one place for you. I love that they have client care leads that will take you through the journey. Megan gets into that today, whether that's discussing what you can budget for, discussing what you really value, discussing what your insurance will cover. And I love this because I got a small dose of it with the company Well Nested. We had the co-founder of Well Nested on back in 2021, and they have since sold, but they were a company that was helping people get access to care similarly, specifically in breastfeeding, that insurance would cover. And I went through all of it and was able to get great care. The insurance piece really didn't fall into place, which is an issue with me being over state lines in New Hampshire, but neither here nor there. My point is, we all need to know what our options are and have resources to feel empowered. And I think Megan really drives that home in today's episode. This episode is for you if you are trying to conceive. This episode is for you if you are pregnant and you're a little bit overwhelmed or you don't even know where to start. I felt like I really couldn't tap my doctor for these types of questions. And Partum Health, I love, one of the things I love about them is that they host a ton of awesome informative events. They just had an awesome event with one of our podcast guests, Liz Cutica, who is a movement specialist, and they had a pelvic floor therapist. You might be following her, the Vagina Whisperer, at the same clinic. So you definitely want to follow them for resources because you may not be in the Illinois area and you may be able to attend an event virtually. So you can find Partum Health at partumhealth.com, P-A-R-T-U-M, health, just the word health.com, and also on social media at Partum Health. So all of that is in the show notes. I'm so excited for you guys to tune in today. And on our front, you guys can actually find our nip gloss at a discounted rate if you are a breastfeeding mama in the show notes for 20% off. It has a ceramic cooling applicator head so that you don't have to rub it on with your fingers. The cap pops off with one hand so that you can not have to put baby down to screw open a jar and you don't have to get it under your fingernails. On top of that, it is also non-toxic. It's lanolin free. It is all natural. It has calendula flower infusion in it and it's just all around a beautiful product. Tube is also made of PLA plastic if you are interested in sustainability. And our cosmetic box it comes in is Forestry Stewardship Council certified. So discount in the show notes if you want to buy that for a friend, for their baby shower, you want to buy it for yourself, you can also use it on your lips. So thank you all so much for the support. Thank you for all the feedback you always give. If you have questions, comments, or concerns, my info is in the show notes as always. And without further ado, let's get into the episode with the CEO and co-founder of Partum Health, Megan Doyle. Megan, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me this morning.
You're welcome. And thanks to Liz Cutica for connecting us. I'm a huge fan of hers.
Yes. She is absolutely amazing. We actually just did a really exciting in-person event here in Chicago with Liz and also Sarah Reardon, which was, it was so exciting just getting people together in real life, doing some of the physical things and talking about, you know, pelvic floor and its connection to movement and fitness. It was truly awesome. So yeah, we love partnering with Liz and many folks across the perinatal ecosystem, and also glad she connected us with you.
Yeah, I actually messaged her because I flew into Chicago on Friday, but I was landing like right when it started. I was like, I'm so bummed because I'm hopefully going to be pregnant a second time soon. And I would have loved to attend that. So I love that you guys are doing those events. It looked amazing. And I have so many questions for you. But before we dive in, I'm going to ask you the question we ask every guest, which is, who are you before labels, titles, or what someone could Google about you?
Yeah, you told me you were going to ask this, but you're right. It is a big question. You know, I think in a lot of ways, despite like career stuff and like, I think of myself as just a pretty like normal, genuine Midwesterner. And I don't know if Midwesterner is a label that maybe doesn't apply here, but you know, I've always been, I think, really somebody who's hardworking and gets motivated by trying to make the world a better place. And it's really fun to be able to do that in an area that I really care about and also personally connect with a lot. And so one of the things that I think has taken me a long time is like pulling together all these different threads of my personal life and my professional life and things I'm passionate about. And it's really exciting to be in a stage of life where all of that is colliding.
Mm. That's amazing. I'm a fellow Midwesterner, born and raised in Indiana. And I was just in Chicago last weekend and walked into a fitness studio I used to teach at, Shred, 10 years ago, and was greeted with hugs. And you're like, that is the Midwest for you. Like, that
It
is why I love it so much and I miss it so much. And so I think any Midwesterners listening are like, yes, we know the vibe. And I'm so curious. You said something I care about so much. And I'm assuming with regards to the perinatal journey, and I kind of want to jump off there. Like, what, when, why, how, did you begin to care about this? You know, we've had people on that wanted to be a doula by age 7. Like, I didn't know that what that was until I was pregnant, right? So I would love to kind of know about your foray into the perinatal journey and why you care about it so much.
I mean, to continue on our like big questions, I think, for me, this connection to this topic and how to improve the maternal and family journey, like really started more with an interest in how to ensure women were being treated fairly. Like, I think that's always been sort of a background thread to my days on the math team when I was the only girl in like elementary school. And I've always stayed engaged in, in professional settings. Like, I spent a long time in consulting, was involved in and very supportive of like Women at BCG was the organization. But I think really this process of becoming a mom is what opened my eyes to a major life stage and transition that does impact so much of our, our health, our well-being, our career, like all of it. So I don't know. I definitely didn't want to be a doula when I was 7. And I'm still a little squeamish around blood and things. So like medical was never really my trajectory, but I think I got very interested in healthcare, backing up, and that's how I spent most of my time in consulting. I got really interested in healthcare partially because I was in the front row as a support member for my brother who went on a long cancer journey. And I just, it's interesting thinking about this thing that matters so much when you need healthcare, when you need to find the right specialist, when you need to access the right clinical trial. And our system just makes it really hard to do that. So that happened in my life at a time when I was graduating from business school, joining a consulting firm, and it was the perfect opportunity to kind of raise my hand and say, like, throw me into healthcare. And that's how I learned this side of things on the professional end is, the messy ecosystem we have around payment flows and insurance and accessing care. And then to experience it once I got pregnant and realize, oh my God, so many of these same challenges exist when it comes to navigating the maternal journey. Parallel things that I saw with my brother's cancer journey, obviously in a different, maybe not the same for me, same kind of like high stakes, life-threatening issue. But it honestly, it is like I've seen some statistics that mention that, childbirth and pregnancy, it's one of the most dangerous things that statistically a woman will do in her lifetime, right? So anyway, when I went through that experience, it sort of just like reignited this desire to both think about ways that we can make healthcare work better for people and to do it in this context where I knew it was furthering things for women and families. Like it just felt like it was bringing all of those different personal connections together for me.
Wow. I have so many questions and was just at a baby shower talking about how in our current medical reality, you go in and they just check on things. There's no education and how much the weight of researching and sourcing resources falls onto the mother. And, I went through that 3 years ago with my son, and here my friend is 3 years later. And she's still like cherry picking different things for how am I going to support myself? What choices do I need to make without any support from her doctor, which is supposed to be the person that she trusts? And it was just bringing me 100% back to where I was 3 years ago. And I have so many questions about postpartum and how it works. But before we go there, while we're on the line of your story, did you ever have an inkling that you wanted to be a founder and that you were going to start something? Because as a fellow founder, like it's the hardest thing I've ever done besides birth, and it's not for the faint of heart.
I didn't. I mean, I think, everybody comes to this journey from like different places. I had been really more focused on like, this is the problem I want to solve. And I had this idea that was based a little bit on my own experience, but also on starting to dig into the data around maternal health outcomes and this realization that, kind of drawing on what you said, your physician is sort of like one resource. And the reality is, we put so much burden on physicians, especially in this maternal care journey where you have like one doctor usually. And that doctor is not, doesn't have the appropriate like time to be your full educational resource, right? They're not compensated to spend 45 minutes with you. Like, that's not how reimbursement works. And so, I think it puts a tremendous amount of burden on physicians to be like that one resource. And it's just like a mismatch between what we have in the system and, what they're really compensated and scoped to do. So I cared really about the problem, and I had this specific idea around, how to get access to a broader set of support, how to infuse more of that education into the journey for patients. And I just didn't see anything doing what seemed like an obvious answer to me, or part of the answer, I should say. And so that's really how I ended up becoming a founder. Was this was the problem I wanted to work on, and there wasn't anyone, this was pre-COVID, in Chicago at the time doing anything like this. There were a handful of early stage startups, most of whom I didn't know existed because they were so small. The exception maybe being Maven, that has a slightly different model and very employer focused at the time. So that was kind of how I did it. It was more like, this is the thing that I want to crack, like making it work better for mothers, and for families and parents and birthing people. It wasn't like, I want to be a founder.
Got it. Okay.
I mean, I would love to have, I think like ideal state, if you could be like employee number 10, be like, you can skip some of the early stuff. But now I honestly, I love it. It's the most fun job in the world. So
It's I think the key is to make sure you're having fun because of how incredibly hard it can be. And so when I look at, people go to your website and like we could imagine with the perinatal journey, there's so many services you need from anything and everything in pregnancy, including acupuncture, physical therapy, movement specialists, to prepping for birth, getting a doula, preparing for lactation, all of it. And right now, like I can think off the top of my head, mainly because I've probably had them on this podcast, like I could go to this person for just an online birth prep course. I could go to this person for lactation. I could go to this person. So I'm now becoming my own small business, just sourcing these different things. And by the way, so many of them are paid out of pocket. And I have a background in coaching. And so a lot of them are sort of like online coaches of sorts, or their own solopreneurs, or they're part of an agency. And in my journey of going through all those resources, there was a startup in Boston that I think got acquired or merged. But their whole premise was for the fourth trimester, they were going to go to bat for you with insurance. And so the one service that they could help me with, I was close enough to Boston, was getting my lactation support covered by insurance. That was like the whole reason you go to them. And like when push came to shove, it didn't even end up being covered by insurance. I was so grateful that I'm in a place we could pay for it and that I did get to have a lactation support come to my home, and that made everything so much better. But one thing that I think is really clear on your website is that's a huge part of what you guys are doing for people is helping them get things covered. And I wanted to know what service you guys started with and how you kind of thought about that strategically. And if it was to do with like personally what you felt like you needed the most.
I mean, I think This access to care and affordability of care is such a huge issue. And it's a major driver to the norm today of people like not getting preventive care, right? Is largely because you take this mindset of like, well, if I have to pay for it, and like, how am I going to know if it, how do I know if I'm really going to need it, right? And so it ends up creating this system where people often forego care that really truly has been shown to improve outcomes. I think from the beginning with Partum, our aspiration was to help folks get as much care covered as possible. And so very early days, we started working with doulas, both birth and postpartum, which is largely an out-of-pocket expense. And that's pretty much, continued to be the case today. Although we are hopefully this calendar year going to see the state of Illinois start to reimburse for doula care for Medicaid recipients. We are still waiting to like see that actually totally get implemented, but the legislation has passed, the funding is there, the program is taking shape from what we understand. And that's now happening in about a dozen states.
Wow.
And so that's like an important piece to acknowledge, is that even though we're trying to build like with, we call it like tentacles into the existing healthcare system, there are still pieces that today are largely inaccessible for a wide swath of birthing people, even though we have really good evidence to say like it improves outcomes for things like perinatal mood and anxiety disorder, avoiding C-sections when possible, and a myriad of other things. But I think some of the other side of it, more of the clinical services, that's where we knew from the beginning. And at the time, there were some out-of-pocket models, really like doing more of a concierge, bring all of these services together. We knew we wanted to be an in-network provider and help people access this care through their insurance. Now, today, that is pretty like for commercial plans, let's separate like Medicaid versus commercial plans. People typically do get pretty decent coverage for physical therapy, for behavioral health. We see nutrition more variable. Like sometimes you might need to have a specific referral in order to get coverage, acupuncture, so-so. And then you mentioned lactation. Lactation coverage is maddening because it was actually written into the Affordable Care Act, that everyone should get access to zero cost share lactation care. But in reality, there's like this huge asterisk, which is you have to find an in-network provider with your insurance company, and then they will pay for it. And even underneath that, what we found is it falls into a little bit of like a gray area, because insurance companies, they have really clear protocols for things like primary care, or they have a specific way they approach paying for the bundle around pregnancy. But sometimes these really, really essential services like lactation that fall into less of a clear category, you'll find less clear reimbursement protocols as well. So, we're definitely in the midst of navigating that, and have found ways by, bringing our IBCLCs into our clinical practice. It's mostly working, but it's still not 100%. And we find the reimbursement, the coverage is highly variable across different payers. So, it's something we're still working through, honestly, as well. But our aim is to help people like know these options exist, help them get information from their insurance company about exactly what is covered, what is not. And then to the extent possible, help them access the care that they do have coverage for, and give them accurate information about what things will cost if they don't have coverage, which can also be a challenge in healthcare.
Wow. And so when you guys launched, did you launch with multitude of services, or did you start with just doula or just lactation?
Yeah, we started always with a multitude of services, but we didn't quite have all of the back-end infrastructure around reimbursement, et cetera. So our first handful of providers who did like the first pilot with us, they were mostly still processing claims, and we were matching people based on their initial coverage, or based on the insurance they had, and then which providers took which coverage. And that was like for going back to your point around being a founder is hard. My co-founder Matt and I, we both wanted some data and some like proof that people
Yeah.
wanted this type of care before we like poured years of our lives into building it. And so that was the best way to do it while staying compliant, while getting people access to this care through their insurance. And so in the early days, we offered kind of a duct tape version, but we always wanted to test this idea of, do people want a centralized place to get access to multiple, multiple different specialists? And so we found really strong feedback from the first cohort of patients on coming to one place to say, oh, I didn't even know what a doula was. And my friend told me about lactation. It's really hard. And you guys helped make that easy for me. And right. So we knew from the beginning that was kind of the concept we wanted to test. But it wasn't maybe as the infrastructure in the back end wasn't like as fully operational as it is today.
Got it. And then the other question that I think comes up a lot in today's world, based on pulling people together, is the and then also just the economics of it is having a physical space. I met with the owner of One Tribe in Miami, and that's more of a space for community and women to come and hang out. But it's so cost intensive creating the space, building it out, having everything that you need. And at the same time, one of the biggest things I think of with my perinatal struggles was lack of community. And so I, and then having a central place to meet and like have this event that you hosted with Liz. So how did you guys decide on that decision?
I mean, the way we think about what we do is we call it a hybrid delivery approach. So we do a lot of things virtually, and we also do some things in person, though those are largely in home for one-on-one care, or with physical therapists utilizing like a third location, third party location where they may practice and see patients. And it's partially because of exactly what you mentioned. Like it's so much more capital intensive if you have to build out physical spaces. And just the proportion of our services that need that ongoing physical location is actually kind of low. So we made the decision from the beginning to start without having a brick and mortar. It's definitely a question we still get all the time and something that we think about. For me, if we get to the right density in a certain market, like the economics would have to make sense to do it. But I think there's lots of other ways. Like, for example, this event that we hosted, we had an amazing sponsor, Newmark here in Chicago, who was able to help us get a location so that we could host it. And I think there are other ways that you can do it, bringing people together physically and using virtual community building,
Totally.
where you have to be able to make the business sustainable too,
Yeah.
right?
Oh my gosh, 100%. When I was listening to, I think I forget exactly what podcast it was, but you said that the issues that come up in pregnancy will impact your postpartum journey. And then I think the same goes for how we experience postpartum, the longevity of our health and what happens to us thereafter. Our postpartum journey really sets the tone. And there's the, inner around the bed and the 40 days in bed and all of these different things people have been doing for hundreds of years to have a successful perinatal journey. What about the perinatal journey is most like important or sacred to you when you think about just how it sets us up for the rest of our life?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it really comes down to making people feel empowered and supported. It's probably one of the trickiest things about working in this space is like, you can tell people, for example, like we know from clinical research that working with a birth doula can reduce your likelihood of having an avoidable C-section, but like not everybody wants a birth doula in the room with them, And so it's a really fine line, I think, of making sure that people have the education and the awareness and they know their options, but still giving them plenty of space to make their own choices. And I think that's, and research has shown, like, if you end up, let's say you go in presuming or wanting a vaginal birth and you end up giving birth via cesarean, like, if you feel informed along the way and you felt like you had, some autonomy in that decision or the process that kind of led to that point, and you have a good relationship with your, physician and your care team, like, it's less almost about the outcome and more about the journey that gets you there. And I think similarly in postpartum, like, you can do all of the things, right? You can have an entire partum experience, and we can't predict that everything's going to go perfectly. All we're doing is giving resources that help improve your odds of things going well. But more importantly, like, putting you in the position where you know what your options are and you've made the decision, around what kind of support you want or what kind of, preventive care you want to engage in. And I think that's what we really want to do. And so we often talk about, like, it's finding the right combination of care for you. That's what we're trying to do, not necessarily get everybody all the things, right?
That's such a good point. Like you said, there not everybody wants someone in the room with them while they're giving birth. Some people may not even plan to breastfeed. They may not need a lactation consultant. So I think that's also a really good point. But knowing what the options are, like not knowing what doula is, how are you informed to make that decision? And I guess what I'm seeing, and it could just be because of my age and being on the perinatal journey and trying to conceive again, I feel like there's more awareness around these things, but again, it's also the water I'm swimming in. I'm curious if over the years of building partum, you've seen any things trend or anything recently shifting that maybe wasn't as a parent 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think, even what we mentioned earlier around coverage for doula care being accessible via Medicaid, I think that's exploded. The coverage for, again, this is a Medicaid specific thing, but expanding to 12 months coverage postpartum, which is huge. It's huge because it's acknowledging really the long tail of health issues that are related to pregnancy. All of this has happened in the last 5 years. Before that, I think you started to see, like, some, little green shoots, like, poking through. Definitely, I would say same thing for pelvic floor physical therapy, right? I never heard the words pelvic floor actually until after I gave birth to my first, or at least never didn't think about that concept. I had had, like, very cursory engagement with physical therapy, but just didn't understand the magnitude of what can happen to your body during pregnancy and postpartum. And we mentioned that event we just recently had, and Sarah Reardon, who's an amazing pelvic floor PT, came and did that with us. And she was talking about when she started, when she used to tell people what she did 15 years ago, they were like, "What?" And now when someone hears that, they, like, immediately understand and are peppering her with questions, right? So, like, things are definitely changing in the broader, like, social fabric around how we talk about birth, the awareness for some of these things, but we still have a ton of work to do, right? It's not great to find out about pelvic floor physical therapy, like, after you have your first, for example. It's ideal if that becomes part of the expectation that everybody has access to, preventive care for birth prep and labor and delivery knowledge and, like, breathing and all the things that we know set you up to minimize the impact to your pelvic floor, for example. So, I think awareness is improving. We're seeing some expansion of coverage, which is great, but we still have a long way to go to really transforming the care model so that, you don't, like you said, have to become a small business in order to get yourself all of the support that you need. And obviously, that's part of what we're trying to change at Partum, is to, like, take some of that burden off of the patient. But we're an early stage startup. We're, I think, doing an amazing job serving families in Illinois and Texas. And our hope in 5 years is that you can find Partum in every city and state across the US. But we're just still at the really early part of the curve here. So, yeah, I think we are seeing a ton of positive change, but just still really a long distance to travel.
Well, and part of that long distance, I think, is, and I'm so hyper aware of it, having had one and then having so many friends having their first right now, that when they're having their first, it's like the registry and the nursery, and it's so exciting, and you don't want to take away from that. And
Yeah.
I had a few friends that are like, that are conscious of finding a doula and learning what they don't know and putting all of, putting all the pieces together, so to speak. But there's a lot of people who, again, ha also maybe haven't heard of pelvic floor therapy and really aren't interested because it's just not even in their awareness. And so, speaking to being early stage, wanting to get patients in and all of that, what do you say to people who are kind of like, oh, I probably don't need that. My doctor's got you. Like, how are you kind of going? Like, what language are you using to get these people in the door? And or is that not the challenge? People are aware enough, and it's more just the coverage fight.
Yeah, I mean, I think we find that when people have coverage, like it takes away some of the friction for sure. So once they know something is likely to be paid for or covered by their insurance, like they are much more likely to engage in preventive services, which makes a ton of sense.
Totally.
I think really what you can do is show people data and information, right? You can show them the kind of firsthand testimonials and experiences that people have. And we find that's really powerful. Like from the beginning, we of course do digital marketing, but also try to build awareness around what we're doing with OBs and midwives and pediatricians, because people do come to them and ask for advice and support. And then also to think about word of mouth, because like this is how moms operate, right?
Yeah, truly.
You like ask your doctor, you ask Google, and you ask your friends. And if you hear firsthand from a friend, like, oh my God, this was life-changing, or, this made a huge difference for me, like it is really important. I think that's one of the things that, as a society, we're trying to open up some of the conversation so that it doesn't feel taboo to talk
Yeah.
about. We got postpartum help because we were tired and we find that there's still like this weird, people are a little guarded about saying what they've kind of invested in or engaged in, but that's changing too. So I think all you can do is like tell people, hey, this is what the research tells us. This is what the firsthand human experience is. You should talk to your provider about it. You should talk to your spouse about it. You should talk to your friends about it. And then you got to make your own decision, And if you decide, oh, I don't need it now and you need it later, like we're still going to be there.
Yeah.
We encourage people, for example, to do a prenatal lactation session. Some people engage in that, some people don't. What's great about it is you establish care with a provider and it makes it a little bit, one, you like know what you're doing in those early hours and days of breastfeeding, but also then you can kind of like pick up postpartum with your lactation consultant, where you already have a baseline. Now, some people don't engage in that prenatally, and that's fine. It's like we're still going to be there
Totally.
postpartum when you're coming up the learning curve and you want to get help from a lactation consultant. So I think that's really all you can do, right? Is like from people, and then it's their decision. They've got to choose.
And there's so many things that, I mean, I forget because my pregnancy was relatively easy. I had a traumatic birth, and then postpartum was, I don't even know. I mean, how do we ever categorize postpartum? Like, it's hard for everybody, right? But you don't really know till you're in it. Like, I didn't know I was going to need a nipple shield. I didn't know that he was going to reject the right side. Like, there's all these different things that are so nuanced and so different for everybody. But I think, like, again, I became my own small business, and I knew, okay, there's all these different things. If I can, just like write them all down in case XYZ happens, and that's probably just my personality type. But had I known there was a place I could go, that was kind of a one-stop shop to me, that would have been huge mentally and emotionally, through that journey, because again, your brain is borderline offline, in a lot of it. And so I'm curious, when you think about, you said, 5 years from now, I'd love to be in every city and state. What do you see shifting in the next 5 years? I think we're at a really interesting point. We have a massive fertility crisis. We have massive mental health crisis, and we have really bad maternal health care, awful statistics. Like you said earlier, there are stats that say it's one of the most dangerous things you can do. And so, where do you see us going as a country? And then, where are you guys thinking? That's kind of a two-part question as far as like where you want to grow first.
Yeah, I mean, I think, we're encouraged and I'm an eternal optimist. So, I think the shifts that we're seeing, whether it's on the very kind of leading progressive end of employers, for example, reimbursing for doula care, investing in fertility and other maternal and family health benefits. Like, I think we're encouraged to see that continue. And then all the way on the, more publicly funded side, seeing the changes that Medicaid plans are making. And, MCOs are actually like surprisingly, I think, innovative and have done a lot to really in many other areas to like pilot things that then sometimes come back into the commercial landscape too. So we expect all of that to continue like moving, right? And that's good because that coverage and reimbursement question like is such a barrier for so many people. And then I think, I don't see any of the movements that largely women are leading to say we deserve more, whether it's around paid leave, whether it's around equity when it comes to the wage gap. And certainly maternal health falls into this same place. Like, I don't think we're gonna start accepting less or agree to what's, been the status quo. So I think you need kind of both of those forces, like the industry wide one, the public, saying, hey, we need better support, and some of the policy changes that support both of those things too. So we hope that we'll all keep moving in, in the right direction. And then I think likewise with partum, we've found that what we're doing really works for families when it comes to getting a range of different types of care in a single place. I think we're also continuing to invest in like how do we make this efficient and sustainable by thinking about the right types of technology, so that people can do like self-serve. If let's say you want to like invest in your mental health, but you don't want to do one-on-one therapy, like how do you access tools around meditation and things? Then if you need it, escalate up to having one-on-one therapy, or group or other more casual settings in between. And in order to really make that version of healthcare happen, you really need to be able to evolve your payment model too. So it's not only like you get paid per visit. So that's one of the things that we're working on is, continuing to grow what we're doing today across more markets and geographies, but also building deeper partnerships with payers, with health systems, so that we are continuing to further embed this idea of holistic preventive support like into the care experience, right? And so that's a huge push for us this year as well. And we've had some really exciting early discussions with everyone from benefits providers to health plans. And that's really our aspiration is like what we want to do with Partum is elevate the standard of care so that it's not, I got great care from my OB or midwife, and then everything else I patched together myself, but rather, I got great care from my OB or midwife, and I had access to a whole team that really addressed my mental, physical, and emotional needs like end to end. Like, that's what we want to be the norm. So we're on a journey, a long journey probably to make that happen, but I think we're really excited about and encouraged by all of the momentum in the field right now.
I would agree, feeling that momentum. My husband works for a finance company in Boston, and they've been, I think, women and minority owned since the 80s. And he has 4 months of paternal leave, and he can take it anytime in the first year. As an entrepreneur, I obviously make my own rules as far as leave and that kind of stuff goes, but I do see improvements. And I at a baby shower last weekend, someone was saying that their employer has benefits for postpartum, like a cash fund. And like, she's like, yeah, supported getting us the snoo. And it's like, okay, maybe you need the snoo or maybe you need therapy. Either one, like you get to choose, but having that elevated standard of care is huge, as far as just knowing what your options are. And one thing that came to mind when you were talking about just kind of that end-to-end journey, and you may not know the answer, but just for anyone who is pregnant, who has maybe they're early pregnancy or thinking about getting pregnant, and they've never opted into any of these types of services, do you have any ballpark numbers on like what an average person is spending at partum, whether that's just like, I mean, maybe not one visit because I know insurance is paying for a lot of it, but just like, is it a $500 investment in like, I don't know if again, I don't really know if there's a right answer to this, but for someone who's like, what if okay, this is where my brain's going. I don't know if you've heard of Little Honey Money, but they do a cash fund for moms. I love it. I was thinking like if they wanted to set up a budget or know what to target on something like a Little Honey Money for themselves, assuming maybe their insurance is not like my insurance in New Hampshire and the care here, like at anywhere I go, nothing's covered. So I'm like, if I wanted to set up a budget and there was a part of health care, like what would be like a general budget?
Yeah, I mean, like going back to the point around people deciding what's right for them, it's pretty custom, I would say. But one thing that we do with every family, we have client care leads who are not providing clinical care, but are really just helping people like put together that care plan. And so if you have that discussion early and you can price out like, okay, I want to work with a birth doula, or I just want like one night a week of somebody coming to give me overnight support so I know I'm going to get sleep like at least one night a week for the first like 3 weeks, let's just say, right? Like those are things we can put numbers around, and then you can absolutely like put it on your registry. We actually on our website have the ability for people to add partum gift cards
Cool.
to Babylist. I know Babylist has some embedded functionality too. But we've kind of built one where you can do it specifically for partum. And then there's also an organization called Be Her Village
Oh, we
that is
have her on. Yeah.
okay, great. So you know about that, right? That's the whole
Yes.
concept is getting people to like build into their registry not just the stuff they need, but the support they need. But it really, really depends. Like you can spend as little or as much as you want. You could say I'm only going to do things that are covered by my insurance because I don't have the resources. And I would say one of the things we encourage people to think about, like when you're making this decision about do I want a birth doula or do I want postpartum care, the things that tend to be more out of pocket is like to really think about what support you can count on from friends and family too. And again, that's really different for different families. Like some people have, a mother or a mother-in-law who's really going to like show up and cook and clean and like get up with the baby overnight, right? Like honestly, most of us don't. We may have parents who are still working. You may have a sister or a sibling who, has been through it, who could be there for you for a week. I think that's another place where like generationally we've seen a big shift and different cultures have different norms around that as well. But like have a real conversation so that you know going in, oh, okay, we can expect this from my parents. Or are your parents like they want to drop by and hold the baby for 2 hours and like, you're going to be furiously cleaning your kitchen? Like that's a really different
Yes.
scenario. Yeah. So, I mean, what I would say is, birth packages, and again, all this info on our pricing is on our website. Birth packages, tend to range between 1400 to 1800. I know in different, and that's in Chicago, in different markets around the country, like you're going to find typically much higher pricing for that in a place like San Francisco. You may find lower pricing in some less populated markets. It just sort of depends. And then usually postpartum care is hourly. And you can think about, again, that varies a little bit market to market. Most of our postpartum doula care is between 35 and 40 an hour. And so it's kind of like, goes beyond what you might expect to pay for like typical hourly childcare. But these are people who are trained to really care for newborns and care for the whole family and to support you when it comes to like the basics of breastfeeding or your recovery, as well as to kind of keep your household running. So, they're not going to do like heavy duty care, but things like tidying up nursery, cleaning up remaining dishes, things like that. So it's kind of like this extra set of hands that you just really need in those sleep deprived early days. So that's what that pricing is. And then the other stuff, insurance is really, it's really, really tough. What we find is most people get pretty good coverage, not a lot of out-of-pocket expense for lactation, mental health, and physical therapy, especially in a year when you're giving birth. You're probably going to hit your deductible, all these other things that kind of factor in. So it's really hard to say, like, for any family, this is what they should plan for. What I will say is if you do that legwork up front and, partum, we help people kind of put those puzzle pieces together. Like then you do know what to put on your registry, right? You know what you're comfortable budgeting for.
I think that's incredibly helpful because, again, I'm like, okay, I've been through this. I'm like, that tracks, but I would have no, if I hadn't been through it, I'm like, I wouldn't have any base for that. So I think that'll be really
Yeah.
helpful for people. My last big question is just what has been your favorite testimonial from a client, patient, and or a few?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, the most like visceral things around patient feedback were like that very, very early group of users when we were like, I don't know, does anyone want this? We had one of our first handful of patients is somebody that I know personally who's a friend. And it was interesting because she, I think going into her experience, she knew lactation had been an issue for like some family members and close friends. And so that was the thing that she was most acutely like wanting to engage in. And this was also during COVID times where there was a lot of masking, limited in person, all of that. And so she had kind of penciled in, pre-booked an in-home postpartum visit with a lactation consultant. And during the course of the visit, she got kind of up the learning curve on breastfeeding, which is like such a challenge in those early days. But also the IBCLC she was working with, who most of our lactation consultants are RN, like registered nurse and IBCLC. And they're there in a capacity as a lactation consultant. But Lisa, who is the IBCLC that was working with this patient, like noticed that she was breathing really heavy and started to like ask her about that symptom. And then through the course of the conversation, the patient also was having some pain in her like rib cage area. And those are like two really sneaky symptoms of postpartum preeclampsia
Oh.
that hadn't registered at all. And, it was really at the urging of like seeing Lisa in those early days and getting encouraged to go back and get her blood pressure checked with her OB. And then, lo and behold, like she did have elevated blood pressure. She was hospitalized for treatment to avoid a really severe, postpartum preeclampsia event. And like to me, that still like gives me chills
Oh
thinking
my
about
gosh.
it because it was one of those early signals where we were like, oh my God, yes. Like we shouldn't have people discharged and not seeing anybody for their own health for weeks at a time. It just doesn't make any sense, given the data and what we know, right? And so that, and she did do a testimonial for us where she refers to like working with partum as, truly life-saving.
Wow.
So that's something I'm always gonna like just hold as that early affirmation that like, oh my God, what we're doing is needed. We're gonna make an impact. And when, yeah, being a founder is hard and working with insurance companies is hard and, fundraising is hard. And when you're doing all of that, it's like having that to come back to, and knowing like how big of an impact you can really make on an individual's life and on a family. Like, that's why we're doing this work, you know?
That is, I had chills when you were saying that. That is amazing. And I remember I had booked someone to be in the house as well, and just knowing someone that was a professional was going to be there was such, I don't like, a relief. Like, I'm like, okay, I just have to make it till tomorrow and they're going to be here to check on our lactation situation. And it's a shame that a lot of people don't haven't had that access, but I love what you guys are doing for that reason, because you're allowing for people to figure that out and how to get it set up and there for them. So I am so grateful to have learned all of this from you, and for the work that you guys are doing. I hope you make it over to the East Coast. That would be amazing. If not, maybe Indiana if I move home. But I would love for you to shout out where people can find you. It'll all be in the show notes, but I like for people to hear it.
So today, Partum, we are really active in our home market of Chicago and the surrounding suburbs, but can also serve patients virtually throughout the state of Illinois. And now, Houston is the second market that we have started providing services and care in. We are live with doula care in Houston, and working will hopefully be throughout the course of this year available across major cities in Texas. So that's the second state we're focused on. And, you know, we love for people to come start with a discovery call, meet one of our client care leads, build their care plan, and then get whatever combination of services are right for them. And today we focus on birth doula care, postpartum doula care, physical therapy, lactation, nutrition, behavioral health. That's the core. We do a little bit of acupuncture today in Illinois as well. And it's really, you know, from that point, making sure people have that supported journey. So however you want to engage with us, you can come to the website, you can fill out our inquiry form. We get back to people usually within 48 hours at the latest, and start engaging with one of our client care leads to build the care plan that's right for you.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for all of this. This is absolutely incredible, and I can't wait to see you guys continue to grow.
Thank you so much for having me and for all the work you're doing to really build the conversation and awareness in maternal health. Like, we need every smart person who's working on this is contributing. And so thank you for all of your time and effort too.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.